Certainly glad you're here, and I'm glad we have studio guests, studio friends joining us for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And before I read this verse, and it's a verse I have memorized, probably many of you know it, I say it and share it as a tribute to Dave Harriet. I recently returned from his memorial service today, now realizing that this program is recorded on Wednesday for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, but I attended Dave Harriet's homegoing service at Stratford Park Bible Chapel, and Pastor Dick Smith, along with Pastor Ken Raymond, officiated and shared some things about David. He was a faithful follower of Jesus. He ended well. Kind of shocked and surprised all of us because we saw him or talked with him within a few weeks ago and he was doing okay, but was called home to be with the Lord, and he did get to spend a few hours after his heart surgery talking and kidding and sharing with family members, so God gave them that gift of time. But on the bulletin at his service, on the front page, it has John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. And today's topic is the power of love. So magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 30th, 2022, the last day of this glorious month. October begins tomorrow. I'm sure you all know that. And I'm sure your kids are already talking about Halloween and they can't wait to get all that candy bagged up and eaten in your house or at school or wherever. But it's another new month ahead of us, and today's a special day because we're going to talk about love. And I would pray, I would hope, I would desire that everyone tuned in and listening. So those of you that are tuned in, let this not be by chance or circumstantial. Let this be God's providential timing that you're going to hear about his love for you, as I hope, as Pastor Jason Schiffo facilitates our discussion on the power of love. We talk about how many ways God has demonstrated his love and how the Bible, oftentimes called a love letter to us, can be received knowing that this good, gracious, holy, sovereign God does love us. So the power of love on today, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
Yay!
Hey, so
I want to ask everybody really quick, what do you think love is? Like, if I had to ask you to define what love is, what would you say is the definition of love?
It's how we can feel, experience, and when you feel God's love, his love, it is total. There is no requirement to experience his love.
Say the affection for another.
Yes.
Yeah, that care and compassion. And beforehand, we were all singing, I think, a half a dozen songs that have love in it.
Yes.
And we figured out how many songs, probably most of them, have a reference to love or communicate love in various forms.
Yeah, Ron brought that up. He said that there are just hundreds of songs, I mean, even probably more than that, that have to do, that either expressly mention love or have to do with love. But then also, as you said that, Ron, I thought, how many movies are love movies?
Mm-hmm.
You know, movies where the theme revolves around love or lost love or found love or whatever. And so love is an important topic. In fact, I think that there was a song that was out at one time said, "Looking for love in all the wrong places," which I think is really kind of what happens in the world, is that we look for love in all the wrong places. I mean, what are some things that you guys love? And because we're Christians, we immediately want to run to church. But what are some things that you love that might not be expressly Christian?
Potato salad. I love potato salad.
We know you have an unhealthy affection, care.
Yeah. Pets.
Pets,
yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I love my cats.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Sometimes we love our possessions.
Yeah, we love our possessions. I love riding my bike. What's your favorite food? We use that vernacular all the time, right? We say, I love pizza, or I love cheesecake, or I love spaghetti. So we have a lot of things that we ascribe love. And I think what happens is that love is such an often used word. It's such an often pursued topic that we apply love in the wrong way. I think what we tend to do, and I think as Christians we do this a lot with a lot of different things, is we get the order wrong. Right?
Yes.
We kind of mix up the order because we tend to give first importance or first order to what is right in front of us. So a pizza's right in front of us and we go, I love pizza. And all of that. But what's fascinating to me is that somebody said to me recently, they said, there's nothing stronger than love, even death. Mm. And that's interesting. If you have a biblical worldview. Now, if you have a worldly worldview, you would say, well, no. The love that I can have, the love that I can experience with a person, if we take what we said, feeling, experience, affection, care, those things have a time limit on them because you have to experience that with somebody who's there with you. But love can transcend even life when we look at a biblical understanding of what love is. You know, because the Bible promises us a hope and a future. But that future is found in what? How is it that we have a hope and a future from the Bible's point of view?
Jesus.
Jesus, right. And what from Jesus? His condemnation, his what?
His love, actually. His love and acceptance of us sinners. Even though we love Jesus, we've accepted him, he sees us as his child.
Yeah.
Sacrificial love is what I wrote down. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're going to touch on this, but the three different, you know, we use in English love, and it can mean many things. I love chocolate. I love pizza. I love my spouse. I love this TV program. But are you going to talk about the three different names of love? Is it Greek or Hebrew where, you know, the phileo?
Agape.
I don't know if we're going to go there, but...
Yep. Yeah, okay. I was actually going to talk about that because I think that that's where we get our orders mixed up. You know, because we have eros, we have phileo. Now, that's not to be confused with phileo fish. And then we have agape. And so there's... Does anybody know what those three kinds of love is? Just if you know one of them, maybe share that.
The brotherly love is... Yeah. Filio, is that correct?
Yep. Filio, yep. That's
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yep, that's brotherly love. Yep, the city of brotherly love. How about eros? Does anybody know what eros means?
The intimate, the husband-wife kind of love, the intimate.
Sure.
More sexual, more...
Yep, yeah, fleshly, more physical love, intimacy, sexuality. And then what about agape? Does anybody know what agape love is?
Would that be like unconditional love?
Mm-hmm. Yep, but I don't like the word unconditional love because I find that most people who use the word unconditional put conditions on things. And so I like Mark used the word sacrificial because sacrificial means that unconditional might mean that I might lift the conditions that I might normally have in order to offer this kind of love. But sacrificial actually means that I have to lay my life down, lay down what I like, what I want, who I am, all those things in order to love. So we have these three different kinds of love. And I would say this, that in the world's perspective, eros is one that most people know well. Mm-hmm. In fact, it drives how we sell things. It drives the things we talk about. It drives all kinds of things, intimate love and sexual love. And oftentimes where we see the eros kind of love being used, it's been maligned. And that's where we see that. That's like pornography. That's like the ways that they try to use women to sell things or do that where you're just like, gosh, wow, you know, to get me to buy shampoo, she didn't not need to be, you know, half naked. I mean, I really didn't need that.
True.
And then Phileo, brotherly love, I think that we like that too because that's kind of like friendship love. You know, that's mutual affection. And we like that, but we wrestle with that one too because a lot of times we want it on our own terms. In fact, I think that sometimes the lack of friendships that people have in their lives is because they've put conditions on that love and said, well, in order to be my friend, this is what you need to do, or this is who you need to be, or I like that person because they kind of line up with who I am, so, you know, I can love them. And then we have agape, which I think is the one that we most often don't do because it requires sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But this is what I would say, that if we don't start with agape, we get the other two wrong. See, intimate love is best when I'm willing to sacrifice myself for somebody else. when I'm willing to sacrifice what I think and what I feel to intimately get to know them, to intimately be with them, I think that brotherly love is best portrayed in sacrifice. Because what does Jesus say? Jesus says that he called his disciples friends. And then he said that the greatest expression of this is going to be when you lay your life down for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus said that the fullest experience of brotherly love was going to be found in sacrifice. And so what I think is that we don't pursue God's love, because God is ultimately the one that defines what agape love looks like. It's his sacrifice which gives us the picture of that. That's Romans 5, right? God demonstrates his love like this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, while we were still far from God, he sent his son to die for us. And that's amazing, because a lot of us take God's demonstration as him just showing us something. Like, oh, wow, did you see what God just did? No. God doesn't demonstrate it as show for us. God demonstrates it for our doing. He demonstrates that kind of love because that's the kind of love that he calls his people to do as they follow behind Jesus. But my concern is sometimes I think we follow so far behind Jesus that in that space we create our own definitions for the things that God clearly defines. And so I think that we have to start with agape love, because agape love is going to frame all the other kinds of love that there is. You know, it's really fascinating to me. 1 Corinthians has a whole chapter in chapter 13 about love. In fact, mm-hmm. I opened up in my Bible to that chapter because in my CSB Bible here, the heading is Love the Superior Way. Now, does anybody know what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13?
It's said at many weddings.
Yeah, it's said at many weddings, but what is he addressing here? He's addressing some things that are being abused in the church, or some things that people are leaning into in the church over and above some other things that they really ought to be pursuing and leaning into. Does anybody know what they are?
Yeah, the crickets are coming out.
So he leans in and says, listen, and I'm heavily paraphrasing. He said, listen, I heard about this church at Corinth. You guys really like the gift of tongues. You guys really like prophecy. You guys really love that kind of stuff. And listen, I think that in Christian circles, we would view those kinds of things with a lot of weight. We would go, wow, you know, somebody can utter a prophetic word. You know, I'd like that gift. I'd like to be able to share with people a hope that I believe comes from God through a prophetic word about what might be happening in their future, or a gift of tongue. You know, somehow this kind of connection to God that seems very mysterious and we don't quite understand it. And Paul doesn't at any point in Corinthians say, well, these things don't exist, and I don't want to have an argument about whether they exist or whether they don't exist. But when given these things, what does Paul say? He says, well listen, those are important. But how are you guys loving? I mean, when we think about how our churches and our ministries are operating, do we ever actually sit down and use one of the metrics of how are we loving? Because that's what Paul does. In fact, Paul, at the end of it, which is often cited at weddings, and I don't know if I agree with that or disagree with that. That's another whole other topic. But Paul says faith, hope, and love. And so these are the three great pursuits of following Jesus. That we have faith in Jesus, that we have hope in Jesus, and that we love because he first loved us. And so what does then Paul do? Paul says faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Mm-hmm. Why? Because just like with Eros, Phileo, and Agape, we'll get the other ones wrong if we don't get the most important one right. Because we'll malign what faith looks like if we don't begin with the fact that he loved us first, and our love is based upon who he is and what he has done, him alone. Our hope will subtly get found in the wrong things unless we begin with the right thing, which is God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul, when given this opportunity to come into this church, he's like, man, you know, this church is off the hook. You guys got prophecy going on. You guys got tongues going on. You guys have got a killer children's ministry. You guys have got all this stuff going on. But wait. Did anybody ask the question, how are you loving?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I don't think that we ask that question. And here's the problem that I have with it, is that you can do everything right. But if you're not loving, you've done the most important thing wrong. I can do everything right in my marriage. I can get that honey-do list done right. I can take care of the kids. I can do everything that's supposed to be done. I don't leave my underwear on the bathroom floor. I don't do any of that kind of stuff.
Too much information.
I can do all those things right. But if I don't love my wife, we're not going to stay together too long.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure she can go find a dozen other people who can do the right things right.
Mm-hmm.
But my job is to love my wife deeply. By the way, the Bible says this crazy thing. It says love one another deeply because love covers over what?
A multitude of sins.
A multitude of sins. It doesn't say forgiveness covers over a multitude of sins. It doesn't say that I'm sorry covers over a multitude of sins. It says love covers over a multitude of sins. And that only loving one another deeply, and that can only happen by understanding how deeply you have been loved by God.
That's right.
Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Kind of what we've been talking about and what we've been saying. Any thoughts about that? Or maybe even, gosh, you know, I got to think about this.
Well, is there a verse, or what's that verse where God is love?
1 John 4.
And I've shared this before on the air, but I love this concept that love existed in the Godhead because there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so love community existed from all eternity. So, you know, God knows all about love and how that unity, I mean, it's that mystery, but love can exist because there was love from the beginning through God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I just always think that's really foundational for us to understand. God understands love because he existed in love. He created love. I don't know how it all works, but love existed in that Godhead.
And I think bent in our own kind of flesh, anywhere where we're not pursuing God, we will begin to malign the things that God defines. Mm-hmm. And so we'll begin to get love wrong when we're not focused in pursuing him on what he says love is. And I really think that what we need to do in the Christian life, and this is really fascinating because I've gone to a lot of places, a lot of faith kind of places, where they say, well, you know, if you have a kind of a love, if you're just saying God is love and you're just all this and you're just too flowery and you're not being theological enough and you're not doing, but here's the problem. The Bible itself says that the highest thing that we should desire is to love. The Bible doesn't say, make sure you attend all the Bible studies, make sure you do this, do that, do this. No, no, no. Those are all the things that we want to do. And those are right things. Don't get me wrong. When you hear me say all the Bible studies or all that, I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm just saying we got the order wrong. And the order is wrong because love comes first. If my pursuit in a Bible study is simply knowledge, it's wrong. If my pursuit in a Bible study is to know and love God more, then it's right. And so is love the impetus for all that we do? Because I think that love is actually powerful. If Ron, if you say, you know, I desire to study the book of Leviticus because I love God, do you think that your shot at actually doing it goes up?
Yes.
Yeah, far more than if you said, you know what, I'm going to do it because that's what we're doing at church. About halfway through it, you're going to be like everybody else in the book of Leviticus. Gosh, this thing, I hate it.
Yeah.
When does it end? But if your motivation is I want to love God more, by the way, I have found in my own life, and I think we all struggle with this, but I found in my own life that wherever I desire to love God more, I end up finding myself loving people more. I end up finding myself loving people more. Where I'm pursuing God as a father, I tend to be more loving and patient with my children. Where I'm pursuing God in my marriage, I tend to be more loving and forgiving and patient with my wife. Where I'm pursuing God, I tend to be more like God wants me to be in there. I tend to overflow his love in those places. Listen, for the first number of years that I was a pastor, I pursued knowledge. And I got bookcases in my office to prove it.
Hmm.
But listen, I was not a very loving person, and my wife will tell you that. I was a condemning person. I was a person who wanted to elevate myself above other people. I was a person who prided myself on being able to have all the answers. And none of it led towards doing what was most important, which is loving people, even people I don't like, I don't agree with, I don't even want to be around. We're called to love people. The power of love isn't in doing it. The power of love is in pursuing the one who calls us to do it.
So true.
I think we should take the offering right now. And I love what you're saying, too. As we pursue God, we're going to not only receive love, but we're going to understand His love and be equipped to love others. Because if we don't have God first and foremost and recognizing His love for us, we'll never be able to extend true love to others.
Well, and the other thing, too, is so think about the three kinds of love that there are, and we'll just talk about this really quickly. If we begin with agape love, okay, sacrificial love, love based on who God calls us to be and how God loves, then all of a sudden phileo is about being bound together in unity, the kind of unity that God calls us to be. It transcends simple friendship and affection, but now it's being bound together as brothers and sisters. Now we're going to rightly understand eros, which has always been defined as sexual love. But actually, in the Greek, eros means intimate love. Because when you're bound together, you know things about one another that you might not normally know about because you actually care.
Yes.
You actually care. And so you don't get together and you go, "Hey, Mark, what do you think about the Cubs?" You get together and you go, "Hey, Mark, I just want to talk to you about like some real things. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to you about like all that other. I want to talk to you about some real things because I know some things about you and I care about you and I love you." And so when we get the order right, we actually begin to do all of it correctly. And it isn't about what kind of love we're doing. It's about the fact that we're loving as God first loved us.
Well, as we began this program with a verse that many of you are familiar with, and those of you that have maybe never seen it or heard about it, it's a truth. It's evident throughout the Bible, and God demonstrates it. And it's John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." May you take that to heart. God created you. He loves you. He cares for you. He made a way through the Lord Jesus Christ. So get to know Him through Jesus. Read His Word. Attend Bible-believing churches where that message is proclaimed, because God quite possibly had you tune in for today's broadcast to communicate to you His love. And we would pray that you would receive that and accept it and follow Him and worship Him, because He's worthy of our attention, our affections, and our love.
And so as we close, Alaric, you need to close us out. Come on, Alaric. One, two,
three. I know there's a verse where it says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?"
Yeah.
And then you get all these, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep."
Yeah. But you know what I really want you to do, don't you?
Sing.
Yeah. Come on. All you need is love.
Hallelujah.
All you need is love. All you need is love, love, love is all you need.
And Alaric sings with the singing men of GNN, so plan to join us Monday night, 7 p.m., guys, as we're... Christmas music in the days ahead. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, Alaric Schauffele, Ron and Sharon Fernald, and the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.